So as I said, right now we're thinking about Matthew's gospel in this Easter season, and specifically I was really struck by the liturgical elements that we didn't get to observe this year, but the liturgical elements that take place on Holy Week, and if we were to do Passion Sunday, we would have done them. I assume most of you who've been around the church really remember some of those rituals and those rhythms. One that I have always loved and that's really struck me has been the stripped altar on Maundy Thursday. That as Jesus is stripped in the story, we strip the altar naked as a way of showing that the pain that Christ is going through and the emptiness that he's experiencing, and that his friends have abandoned him. And it's not the way that anyone expects the story to go when they start reading the books of the Gospels. And it's certainly not what the disciples expected. And then we come to that Good Friday service, and we were able to do this element where we set out the candles and we slowly snuffed out each candle as the story went. And then finally we slammed that book and we have that loud sound as the tomb is rolled shut and the thunder echoes out across the land. And that Good Friday and Maundy Thursday bring this incredible finality and this really great sense of emptiness and longing. And even now, when we know what's coming on Easter and we know the rest of the story, it's still when you do a Good Friday service, you're left with this emotional weight of what God went through for us and for our sins, that he took that on his own, and that it is a devastating thing to experience, to think through what God did for us and to have those candles snuffed out. And to have the life of Jesus snuffed out. And it's supposed to create an emptiness. It's supposed to create a finality to it. But then we come to Easter. And when we come to Easter, we see that when God is moving and acting in the world, those things don't stop him. In fact, inexplicably, it's actually part of his plan and part of his desire that he sends Jesus Christ, his son, to die for us. That was actually a way that he was going to bring life, that where we expect God to show up in a great show of power and with might and action and to be strong and send a legion of angels to bring Christ off of the cross, Jesus says it's finished and he bows his head and he dies, because our king is a king who brings his love and his reign through service and through sacrifice. And that in these moments where it seems like the gospel has failed, it's actually a moment for great hope and a moment where God is doing something more and something else. And I couldn't think of anything more appropriate this Easter in the midst of a COVID-19 pandemic. Our church sits empty. And I think it's easy for us to think that we're failing or we're not doing the gospel and we're not doing what we're supposed to do right now. And there is a note of finality. And yet the church is being the church, because God's not confined to particular ways. Instead, God's actions come through service and through sacrifice. It's an incredible sacrifice that churches all around the country and all around the world have shut their doors and have decided to worship in different ways, ways that we don't like to worship in. But we do this as a sacrifice and a way of showing love and care for others in our communities. And that's an incredible and powerful thing. And we do that not because it's our own good ideas, but because we're following the example of our Lord who sacrificed himself for us. That we do these actions so that we have hope, even when it feels empty, like what we're doing is weird or different or maybe even a failure. It's not, because God isn't stopped by such simple things. The resurrection is the greatest miracle in all of history, and yet even now, we wait for that to be outdone by God, because we're always waiting for the next great resurrection that God is promising us. And so we worship and we do our ministry and our life in between the resurrection of Christ and in between Christ coming again when all people are resurrected. And we have hope and we work toward that, trusting that God is doing what God is doing and that he continues to be at work in his creation, even when it feels empty and like we're failing. And this is the other great thing that Easter helps us to hold on to, is that especially in a pandemic, that death is not the end, that instead God has sanctified the grave, and that as we know people who are suffering from this, and I personally do know someone who's suffering from COVID-19 and on a respirator right now, that if their life were to end as a result of this, and if our life ends because of things that aren't COVID-19 related, that that's not the final word either. That the grave is sanctified by Christ's stay in that tomb. And because of Christ's stay in that tomb, we have an incredible hope that we too will be raised in newness of life. That because Christ is risen indeed, hallelujah, we too will rise. That we too will experience the new creation and all of the promises that God has given to us. So on this very peculiar and weird Easter, when our church sits empty, the people of God are still at work. And we're still at work praising God and worshiping Him and celebrating Him. But we're also still holding on to that promise of eternal life in Christ as we work in this ministry now, and we wait and long for that day when Christ comes again. And this is a wonderful thing to consider this Easter as we celebrate the resurrection. So I'd encourage you throughout this day, make sure that you're still celebrating Easter and reminding others of the joy that we have in Christ. It's a great day to make FaceTime calls or just regular old phone calls and let other people know about Christ, that Christ is risen and we too shall rise, and celebrate that promise today and all days. Amen.